Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
And welcome to another episode of Chatty Broads with Becca and Jess.
Oh, that didn't...
Oh, damaged cans. And then it's always scary to like push your finger through
because you're
going to get like
lacerated. I'm very scared that I'm going to like kill, like ruin my fingers.
Guys, we have
damaged
cans here, and this is, you know, this is an abomination.
It's like swollen.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we tried to punch it open, I should have asked for a discount.
This is like you bought like a computer and it's dented.
It's all awkward.
You know, we went through some elevation. Maybe to get here. Maybe we went through the Rockies because it was, you know, that's where they make it. It's in the Rockies, right?
Yeah.
Or is that BL Smoothies?
No, I don't think any of this is made in Colorado.
All of this is
that's
just made
Coors.
in some warehouse in the valley. He's currently bashing his beer in order to get it.
I'm using my phone
to
bash
it. Is it working? Oh, not bad. Okay.
I recommend it.
Use your phone.
Yeah.
What's up, bro?
Dude.
How are you?
Not much. I'm good, dude. I had some nice event. Some things happen. Happy things happen.
What are happy things?
I shot an 87 again.
Oh, you mean in the, okay? He's talking about golf.
Personal things. Yeah.
He's talking about golf.
I shot an 87.
That's great.
But my first nine, best front nine I've ever played. I got shot a 40.
And this is a straight up. This is a par. This is a normal par.
Normal par.
72.
Normal par. 72.
With par fives and fours and the whole deal. And you shot an
dog legs.
You shot in the 80s.
I shot a 40 on the front nine.
Whoa, you guys, he's doing better.
That was
I
big.
Love that.
I opened birdie par par par.
No gimmies.
No.
No mulligans, no pull it out of the trees.
I had a breakfast ball my first drive.
That's fine. I'm cool with
I
the
had
breakfast ball.
I breakfast balled after and the rest of the game was just clean.
So you weren't pushing any lies, nothing. You were hitting it out where it lay.
Then I had two double bogeys and that was that's where my four over came
right,
from.
Right, right.
But I was like, what the fuck? I was on a serious
that's
heater.
That's a serious heater.
Yeah. Back nine?
Yeah, some people are back nine people. Some people are front nine people.
What it was like in baseball, if someone's pitching a no-hitter, you can't acknowledge it.
No. The second you become aware that you're doing good is the second that everything starts to go
downhill.
That's
where I was like, okay, I'm going to try to, if I carry this into the back nine, I'm going to hit low 80s. And I was like, that was my thought process. And then I was like, right. I have to stop doing this.
Now, this just brings an interesting conversation about golf, right? So golf has become a phenomenon the last couple of years, especially during COVID. Before, golf was an old man sport. Now everyone plays golf. And for you out there,
you only played with your dad.
Exactly.
That was like how I grew up. I played like three times a year with my dad, but my whole life.
Right. But what's interesting is I'm sure talking to the broads right now, there's a lot of broads out there who you're probably rolling your eyes right now going like, oh my God, tell me about it. He won't stop golfing.
Well, it's...
And I would imagine a lot of people are like, what's the deal with this golf thing? Like, I used to have a partner and now I don't. Now they just golf.
You learn so much about yourself playing golf.
Oh, so it's more of a therapy thing. So you should, okay.
It really, yeah. I mean, you can't play a good game like out of control. You know what I mean?
Right.
You have to be like so centered.
Yes.
And in like doing, it's like you have to think about, you have to be very intentional with what you're trying to do. But then when the moment comes, you have to like, do nothing.
Right. You have to be water.
You approach it saying, I'm going to do this extraordinary thing. And then when it comes time to it, you just go, like, you say things to yourself, like, there is no ball.
There is no me.
I am the wind.
You become a nihilist.
Yeah. And you feel nothing when you hit it. And then You don't even lift your head to look. You focus just on the connection and it'll just go where it goes.
So to give you guys some peace,
then you're Euro stepping in, you know?
Right. So I am a golfer as well as Grayson is. And I was a golfer before COVID hit. And it's a bummer for me because I used to be able to golf all the time. No problems getting tee times and all that stuff. Now it's hard.
Now it's impossible.
Because everyone's gotten into golf. Now, for you out there who have golfers who are your partner in life, I just want to say I'm sorry on behalf of all of us. It is an addiction. It is a problem. Now, you're probably wondering, hey, before COVID, they never liked golf. Now, all of a sudden, they're obsessed with golf. What is it about golf? Should we maybe shed some light on like what it is about golf
that
makes it so addicting?
Yes, I'd like to do that.
Okay.
What is it for you,
Evan? For me, it's the perfect combination of all things that you want when it comes to an enjoyable experience.
Mm-hmm.
A bit of competition,
mm-hmm.
a bit of athleticism,
mm-hmm.
leisure,
mm-hmm.
you're eating, you're hanging out, it's nature, you're mm-hmm. outside, drinking, so you're relaxing, you're having drinks, companionship, mm-hmm. you're hanging out with people, you're having conversation. Like, name another experience that has all that.
There's also isolation.
Isolation. It's calm. So that's the thing is, I think it's addicting for people. And I think if you're not a golfer, you don't get it. You're like, that's like some shit my grandpa did. Like, what possibly could you want about this? All those things are a part of it. And it's extremely addicting because of that. Whereas if you, let's say, go surfing, you're like, it's highly athletic and you're in nature, but not super communal, depending on what's going on. It's very immersive. You have to get in the water and it's like kind of a lot, you know. Any other experience doesn't have this many things that the box ticks. And so it's very addicting.
It's
and then if you and you can kind of start getting a little better at it. And then once you start getting better at it, the experience becomes massively more enjoyable.
Well, I think everything heightens because there's extreme highs and lows in golf. Because ultimately, you're competing against yourself at the end of the day. So,
but there's another element when you go with the friends.
Totally.
Where now it's on. Now you're betting.
Yeah,
it
betting
becomes
is very
a whole
fun
thing.
With it. I am always trying to push people to make bets on the course, but they don't ever. A lot of my friends don't really want to bet. Becca's dad likes to bet on the golf course.
I'll tell you who likes to bet. People who know they'll beat other people.
Yeah.
You're probably out with some friends who aren't as good as you, and they're like, I don't know why they don't want to
like
bet.
There's like two of them who I want to entice into betting, but they're like, no, we're too responsible to do that. They only bet when we're like playing poker, where they're like, they're confident.
They're more confident.
Yeah. But, you know, Becca's dad will play. He just wants to bet on golf. So he has like all these different betting games he plays with his buddies
right.
on the course of like, I forget one, but it's like a point.
There's a
point-based one.
Old guys have way too many games.
You get like 81 points throughout the whole thing, and like strokes reduce your points and like all this stuff.
It's way too technical. You're like, at the end of the day, it's like who wins and who loses wins.
There's a lot of aspects. They have like a whole spread for the 18.
It's over the top. Anyway,
I'm always like, let's just throw $2 a hole on and we'll just see what happens.
I can't stand it when people make it all technical. Anyway, that's just to give you a little bit of like understanding when it comes to the golf thing. It is immersive and weirdly addicting. I remember before I ever golfed, I thought it was like some weird old man sport. And then my friend took me and it clicked. And so just know that I will say this. If your partner is thinking about getting into golf, do your best to not let them do it because they will become addicted to it. I can almost guarantee
it. It's great for personal growth at the same time. Like I find the whole process of trying to improve your game of golf is like very meditative. And it's very like people who are good at golf, no one's just like naturally, like no one just naturally plays very well. Like you'll have people like have like, like a natural swing. Like
speak
they'll have
yourself,
a pretty good
shot.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But like anyone who's like getting like good numbers pretty consistently,
right.
like
play golf.
Mid low 80s, like they've put time in,
right?
Like serious time,
right?
Into and all these aspects.
Now, here's another thing I will say: either try to prevent them from golfing, or you get into golfing,
or get into golf with them,
because that would be the ultimate. Could you imagine if our partners wanted to golf with us? Like if Becca was just like, "Let's go golf together." If Jess said to me, "I've been golfing a ton. I'm pretty good. I want to golf together." Like, listen, Jess is the woman of my dreams, but there is one area that would put her onto a whole nother level. And that is if she golfed.
Be so
I mean,
sick.
It would literally. See, a lot of people are like, no, that's my time. No. Now you have the ultimate okay to golf all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I want to golf with you. It. Are you kidding me? We can do this now?
Let's go to the driving range. We'll get lessons.
Here's the ultimate one. You know, because this is the ultimate doghouse. This is the husband doghouse move of the century. You're on vacation. You're in a place where there's nice courses. And just middle of the day, you go, hey, babe, is it cool if I go golf? It's just like, it's a selfish move.
Because you're going to go away for 5 hours.
5 hours. But if she was like, hey, let's go golf
together.
That
sounds like a great idea.
Unbelievable. So we recommend that. That's a move.
A real winner, here's how you know when you have a real winner, and I don't think either me or Evan does, is when they will just accompany you and read a book in the golf cart.
Jessa said she wants to do that.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
We haven't done that yet, but she's like, I'd totally come with you golfing. She's like, I'll sit there, read a book, hang out, drink some Becca, seltzers.
Becca, I expect more.
So I got to start using that.
You know, I got in trouble on the last episode because we talked about our secret pooping. Of non-pooping, just going in there for some me time.
Oh, yeah. She didn't know?
Dude, she just
brought it up. Wait, what world is she living in where she thinks your poops take 40 minutes?
She brought it up this morning where she's like, I know all about, like, you're, like not pooping when you say your pooping thing.
You're like, I assumed you knew.
I was like...
You're like, I'm not that constipated.
I don't know if I said anything.
You didn't confirm or deny.
I didn't, exactly. I was like...
I'm shocked she didn't know.
I just did one of those like...
She just thought you had like irritable bowel syndrome.
No, I think she honestly thought I was pooping.
Wow. No, Jess knew. Jess has always known. She's just like, I know it doesn't take 37 minutes to poop. I can hear videos. I can hear like...
There are rare times though when like you just know you're not done and you just have to sit there.
And you're like, babe, I'm sorry. It's just... Woof.
It's so rare.
Well, I'm struggling
today. There is that time. But we like to pretend like it's every time.
It's definitely not every time. Few and far between.
So the other astonishing and amazing thing that happened in my life was I went on both the new Star Wars rides.
Okay, let's talk about this. You guys, we're referring to Disneyland in California, Anaheim. Mm-hmm. There are two Disneyland rides. Uh-huh. There is the one that's the Millennium Falcon, and there's the one that is the Rise of the Rebellion.
Now, the Millennium Falcon ride is extremely cool.
It's okay.
But it's just a ride.
Meh.
It's a regular ride.
I was very unimpressed.
I was pretty unimpressed.
I was like, wait, this is it?
Yeah. It's like you're participating, but you're not really participating. You're
pressing some buttons.
It was fun. It was okay. It's like Back to the Future.
Yeah. The line's great. It all looks cool. You could see the Millennium Falcon, all the stuff.
Rise of the Empire.
Rise of the Rebellion. Is unbelievable.
It's the greatest ride experience I've ever had in my life. Like,
yes.
Outside of being a little kid going to Disneyland for the first time at like 3 to 5 years old, this was the best. This was like being that age again. I think I was like eyes popping out.
It transfers you back.
Like giddy the whole fucking time.
Think about going on that ride when you're 12. That would be
especially absurd. if all the adults are like, what?
You guys, this ride isn't even a ride. It's a ride within an experience.
They turn... Okay, you know in A Night at the Roxbury, when they're like, what if the whole time you're waiting outside the club?
Right.
You're in the club.
Right. That's what this ride is.
It's actually exactly what the ride is.
It literally is. The whole time you think you're about to get on the ride, and then you're like, wait, I'm not on the ride yet?
They turn the line experience into like this whole introduction to the ride. So they start... What they do, which is genius, and we're not going to give it away, but they... You're standing in a normal line, and then all of a sudden, they take like 50 people from the line. And you're like, oh, like it's going to be like Tower of Terror or something, or like the Haunted Mansion where you all
get into this ship thing, and then you think the ship is the ride.
Well, yeah, that's what you think you're getting onto it, like Tower of Terror, where you're all just in the room.
You're probably going to do something.
But then they just flip the switch where it's like, you think like, oh, we're getting into this bus and like, they're just going to open the doors on the other side, but like somehow the thing moves and opens into like a room like you had no clue existed, and you're full blown on the set of Star Wars.
You're not on the set of Star Wars. You're in Star Wars.
And it's not animatronics. It's like a full cast of people. through that you're like, and there you like, and they turn that of like you're being ushered by the Empire the like ride, through a ship. You're like, what the fuck?
Half the ride is not even on the ride.
No, it's just it's the getting line.
To the ride.
You're in line and you're freaking out. They immerse you in the world of Star Wars.
Here's another thing I'll say about it. It's the first ride I've ever been on where it doesn't feel like it's actually catered to kids.
No.
Like every other ride feels like, okay, kids would enjoy this. I feel like if anything, Ember doesn't get it. Ember's kind of like, oh, that's cool. She likes it. But like when you're our age and or all, you know, all like 20s to 40 and you grew up on Star Wars, it's literally like, oh my God, like insane. this is an adult ride. Like it's designed for adults to have an experience.
The only thing I would say, like thinking about that, the only thing that disappoints me is that it is the new Star Wars. That the cast that we're interacting with isn't like the OG.
Sure.
That's my only thing.
Sure, yeah. But at some point, you've got
to
like.
It's very hard to pick a thing because you're like, dude.
Man, if you guys ever get to go to California Disneyland, you got to go on this ride.
It's literally like being in the movies. Like, it's crazy.
It is insane. I couldn't believe it. The first time we went on it, you know, we've all been on rides at Six Flags and Disneyland. And, you know, in general, if you're in your 30s at this point, you've been on a lot of roller coasters and rides and whatever. I remember like the first time I went on that, like my mind was, I remember getting off being like, what just happened?
Dude, we were literally like laughing, like just giggling and laughing the whole time. Cause we
was
were
Becca
like
a Star Wars kid.
Yeah. She okay. was a massive Star okay, Wars
so that's,
kid.
So that's another part of it too, is like, if you have an emotional connection to Star Wars, it's huge.
Becca was big into Star Wars and of all things, 1984, the book.
Oh, wait.
She was really into the book. Do you know 1984? Like 2 + 2 = 5?
What is... Well, no, I don't... 1984. Is that a sci-fi thing or is that...
Yeah, it's kind of sci-fi.
Oh, no, I don't.
It's like a sci-fi future.
No, I don't know.
George Orwell.
Wait. Oh, yeah. The George Orwell book. Mm-hmm. Okay. I was thinking... Like, I was thinking like a TV government. Show or something. Yes. Okay, yes. I know the book. Yes. Mm-hmm. Animal Farm. Okay, yes. I thought you were like 19. For some reason, my brain was thinking like Stranger Things or something. No. I was like, is that some...
No, got so it. She was like massively into that.
Got it.
Like had like a club.
Got it.
Made like 1984 shirts.
Oh, wow.
She's a little
Those
bit
books
of
are
a
really amazing and addictive.
Nerd.
Nerd. Bit of a
bookworm nerd. Dweeb.
Dweeb. That's a good one. Dweeb.
Right.
What are your overall thoughts on Disneyland? Because did you grow up going to Disneyland?
No, I went to Disneyland like a couple of times. I went to Disneyland for like 6 times in my life before.
Okay. Oh, we talked about this a little bit before, but yeah, it's interesting because it's like I started to go to Disneyland later because like it was a hot thing when I lived in Orange County because we were so close to it.
Yeah.
That a lot of the kids, a lot of the like high schoolers and junior hires had passes.
Well, yeah, you could go and be away from your parents.
And it was 20 like, minutes away. But it wasn't that crowded back in the day. Like, you could go midweek, and it was like, get in on every ride, no problem. Disneyland's nuts now. Like, crazy busy. Did you do the special passes? That's yeah. You have to do that.
Yeah.
If you don't do the thing where you sign up and, like, you put your name in, and then you can go to those rides later. Mm-hmm. If you don't do that, you're in 3-hour lines.
We waited in line for an hour and then we had 2 reservations and then it was our date night. We went there, our passes.
Nice. Oh, you guys got passes?
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
So we've kind of like hacked it. We have our good hack. And then the other thing for me, the absolute must is snacks in line.
See, real quick, I want to hold something.
If I can snack the whole time I'm in line.
Can I hold something real quick?
Yeah.
Up until you said, I don't like Disneyland unless the kids are there.
This is a whole...
So now you're on a date night at Disneyland. Can you explain?
Becca really likes Disneyland and she has annual passes for us for this year. And she's just really trying hard to make me like Disneyland.
Do you feel like you've changed?
Well, my thing about Disneyland is just the people. I really don't like being around that many people.
Okay.
So like she... planned like a whole itinerary where it was like she was like, we're gonna wait in line for one ride. You can get snacks for the line.
I like how she's talking to you like a child. She's like, we'll get you the snackies
pretty much, because I'm like we're going to Disneyland.
You're like, well, we're wasting our date night on Disneyland. Like,
and she's like, listen, like, I'm getting us like lightning passes for the new Star Wars rides. And I'm like, oh, the new Star Wars rides. I'm like, well, I do really want to go on the new Star Wars rides. So, anyway, so it was like, we waited in line for the Millennium Falcon. And then I was like, meh, but like still the set stuff was cool. But like, since going on that, my whole thought on Disneyland was like
shifting a bit.
Bro, that was the coolest shit ever. And then we went back on like what's it called? The train, the like mine train roller coaster.
I don't think I know that one.
It's an old, it's like an old classic. What is it? It's you're on a mining train through the mountains and it's like a roller coaster.
Oh,
Thunder Mountain Railroad.
Thunder Mountain Railroad, yeah.
At nighttime, Thunder Mountain Railroad's See, cool.
I haven't been to Disneyland at night in years. That's pretty fun.
The Disneyland at night, I think, is sick because there's all the light. Like, we got to see the light parade. And also, all the buildings and all the installations get lit up at night.
So they're all pretty and cool.
And so they have, like, this glow where not all of the plasticky sort of, like, amusement park vibe. You can't
see it as much, yeah.
They start to feel more like an immersive like Disney experience in a certain way.
I bet the Star Wars land was pretty cool at night.
Pretty sick.
Yeah.
Because it looks, it's supposed to be dark.
Yeah.
It's really cool. But then like, you know, all the rides have like these little like light installations. And so, I mean like at night when you're walking by the water in like the downtown Louisiana part.
Yeah, and it's all pretty.
It feels completely different. And they have all the nature sounds playing, which I think is really funny.
That is cool.
But the river, like the water looks way cooler. Yeah. The steamboat looks way cooler.
That is, so, sounds like, fun. I want to go at night.
That stuff's fun. So I had a very positive experience. I will say what I've always stood by is I find Disneyland as a park immaculately clean.
Unbelievable.
It's insane. The groundskeeping.
How are there that many people and they keep it clean? I don't understand.
I mean, the park is immaculate.
Immaculate.
It's perfect. All the gardens, all this. It's like, it's wild.
Any sleeper rides that you like? I feel like I love my, you know, my favorite ride? Mm. My favorite ride at Disneyland is Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, it's so sick. That's not a sleeper.
Just sitting on the boat and looking at animatronics. I feel like most people would hate it. I love it.
The Haunted Mansion is one of my favorite rides.
Good. Yeah.
Just going through the dining room. I'm really excited to go on Peter Pan because I haven't been on Peter Pan in a long time. And the kids are currently obsessed with Peter Pan. So we've been telling them that we're going to go on the Peter Pan ride. So I think we're going to take them at the end of September.
Got it.
Go on Peter Pan. So I'm very much looking forward to that because I think they're going to freak out.
Yeah. You're in a special time right now too because I feel like Ember's 6. She loves Disneyland. But I do feel like when you're 3, 2, when you see, you know, Mickey, you lose your mind. You know, because you're like, oh my God, it's actually here. You know, 6, you're kind of like, oh, it's cute. You know, but you start to kind of see behind the curtain a little bit of life.
We saw, when we were there, we saw, Becca and I saw, like, you can rent, people who do, like, weddings at Disneyland, there's, like, packages. You can get the horse and carriage from like Cinderella
to come and.
So we saw bride and groom sitting in the carriage thing being pulled by horses, and like the park staff come and like tell you not to walk.
Are you thinking about doing that?
Well, no, we filmed it and showed it to Ruth though, and she's like, "Oh my gosh, like Cinderella let them borrow it." And we were like, "Yeah, isn't that?" She's like, "It's so beautiful, like all this." And then when we came out of one of the rides, the light parade was going, and the section we saw was Peter Pan. So we filmed like Tinkerbell and Peter Pan and Hook.
And then you showed it to her.
They think it's fully real.
Now, were they disappointed that they didn't get to go?
Absolutely.
Okay.
But they were really happy that we were there waving to them.
Right.
And that made them, you know,
that made it work.
Holy shit.
It's kind of a nice, like they're just at that age now where they can kind of like, you can trick them. Mm-hmm. You can be like, we have fun. And then because we had fun, you get to show the video and you like that, right?
Well, it's a trip, like the world that they're living in, like, you know, they watch like some like things where animals talk.
Right.
And then we were like, animals don't talk in real life, like just in movies. And then they went to like our nanny's sister's house and she has like tons of birds.
They're talking.
She has talking birds.
Oh, parrots and parakeets and stuff like that.
Yeah, who like sing along with lyrics to
certain
songs. And she's like,
you lied to me.
So she's like, we went to her sister's house and her bird talks.
Yeah, I was like, wait, you told me they don't talk. I like, literally
no,
saw
like,
it.
I'm just like, no, it's because it, you know, I'm not going to be like, you're no, like, this it's is... just a thing. The bird doesn't isn't aware of like what the, like that the words have that much meaning of like
and you can't. They don't even know what the words mean.
So it's a trick. But the bird's like, I forget what song it sings, but it's like a virgin.
No, it sings Madonna.
They sing some pop song. And they put on it and the bird dances and then it's got like a slew of sayings it knows how to say.
So what are your thoughts on lying to your children?
Depends on what we're lying about.
Okay, let's get into this. Santa Claus.
Totally fine.
Okay, so are you going to do the full out, like push it as far as you can take it?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if like I'll pretend to be Santa and like have that experience or not.
You gotta, dude. I've done it. I did it every year or multiple years at least. I did shit like where I was like, I was outside in the suit and I was like, you know, I had Jess be like, what's that sound? And all of a sudden I'd go by and everyone's like, oh my God, I just saw Santa. And she's and like, what you did?
Where would you be? What would you guys tell her that you're like working or something?
Well, no, I mean, she just thinks I'm in the other room. You know, When you're three, you're not like wonder where he is. You're just kind of like, I just fucking saw Santa.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, you just go around and you just kind of see me through the window and I wait and they're, oh my God. You know what I mean? It's like insane. And then one year I came in when she was really young, like two, I like came into the house and I was like, I'm here to give Ember presents. And I like dropped presents off and walked out. I had a beard and the whole thing. And she's just like, oh. You know what I mean? And she was just like super nervous. She was like, hi, are you Ember? Oh yeah, the whole deal.
And you just had the big beard on?
I had a big beard, glasses, leather gloves, the whole thing. Fake leather, you know, it was like whatever, but like off of Amazon or something. But like epic. And like, it's funny because I think about my childhood and there's like, two things that really happened when I was a kid that made me like honestly like think I had these experiences for like a long time, even when I well past when I knew they were fake. I just thought it was so visceral to me. One was Santa. I was up with my sister, you know, I'm probably three or four, she's six or seven, and we hear like footsteps on the roof. So I don't know if it was creaking, I don't know what it was, but it was Christmas Eve. We heard like douche douche douche, and my sister looked at me like, that's Santa. And I was like, oh my God, to the point now where like, it's so real that I have to like remind myself that it wasn't actually Santa.
Yeah.
And another weird one I had was, this is, are you ready for this one, dude? This one's insane. I was convinced for well past when I should have been that the tooth fairy was real, because the night I lost my tooth and I was going to get, you know, a quarter for my tooth, I had an extremely real dream that the tooth fairy flew into my room, landed on my pillow wearing a one piece, and took my tooth and sat there and talked to me in a one piece bathing suit. Like, I distinctly remember she was wearing a one piece. I remember that and thinking to myself like, oh, interesting.
Well, look, Disney makes all these little, like these little pixies and stuff. They're all like Tinkerbell's smoking.
They're all
hot.
Cute. You know what I mean?
And in the Bachelor world, Tinkerbell's a smoke show.
Exactly. You know? A smoke show. Yeah. And I remember just being like talking to her and then she flew off, and I swear to God, it was like years of like, you can tell me she's not real, but like, I had a conversation with her. She wears a one piece. Like,
talk,
she's great.
To her.
Dude, I'm telling you, one piece.
That's insane. So funny.
Oh, ah,
it is funny, the details that stand out. Like, that's like a big, that's a significant aspect of the dream, is like the detail of the outfit. Well, yeah, speaking of the Bachelor world.
Yes.
We do have an episode to discuss.
I feel like this episode is like a real stretch in trying to stay positive. Like if you woke up in the morning, if you woke up in the morning and you said, I'm going to be positive today. Like I'm going to be a light of positivity. And then you watch that episode. Like you really have to like push past and decide not to get negative with this episode.
I think there was some positive stuff to say to see in this episode.
I love that. Let's hear it.
Okay.
Let's get into it.
Here's my first most favorite part of the episode was that we don't have time for the rose ceremony.
It's like brush over one of the biggest moments of the show.
One of not just the show, but the franchise. The rose ceremony is The Bachelor.
Literally.
And The Bachelorette. That is, the rose is the symbol of the show. And we decided, here's what I love. We decided to, as producers, we decided to axe the most distinguishing part of our show to make room for Jesse Palmer's Virgin Mobile plug, where they spent 12 minutes talking about Virgin Mobile tours. Ugh. Which I think is funny is that we had like how much time during the actual show did they have to promote this? But they wait until like they you know,
yeah, like when you actually think about all the like there was quite a few non exciting things that happened in this episode, and they chose like one of the most foundational things of the, they could have cut out so many other parts.
This is obviously like the in kind like partnership that the show had to use one of the like ships as the like hotel for the cast while they were in Paris. You know what I mean?
Right.
They were staying on one of their boats. You could have used that to have them do a bunch of activities on the boat.
Yeah.
And showcased the yacht, the cruise experience when you're filming and have them do stuff like on the, but no, we're going to do that in the Mentel All. And we're going to cut the actual episode of The Bachelor, like story progression short, and just tell you that in the rose ceremony, everyone got picked. Hooray. And we're just going to breeze over it. And instead, we're all just going to watch a giant commercial led by, it's Jesse Palmer's biggest moment of the whole season.
Half of the episode was a commercial.
Yeah. But I did thoroughly enjoy it. I mean, everyone looked like they were having a party.
The audience was
freaking out when they told them.
Let's start with the champagne thing.
Weird.
Can someone explain to me, because I haven't put any work into this, what the app even is? He presses a button and then servers come out and serve champagne. So what was he even promoting?
The way I imagine it is that that's a feature on the cruise.
Oh.
So if you're on the cruise,
you can
and
press
you
that
pay,
button and someone will
my
serve
guess is it's a
champagne
premium
to your
package.
Room.
Or wherever you happen to be on the boat.
Right. You can get it delivered to you.
Yeah.
Which specific, like you're promoting an app that you have to only use when you pay for a cruise. Like that's way too specific of
but
a plug.
Everyone got a free cruise.
Now let's get into that.
This was his Oprah moment.
It was his Oprah moment, right?
He loved it.
He loved it. Dude, Jesse Palmer, this should have been Jesse Palmer's, this should have been Jesse Palmer's moments plus Mentel All, because yeah. Jesse was just like, everything was just like,
oh my God. Yeah.
But I think the most brutal moment for me was last week they previewed it and he uh-huh. goes, in this Mentel all your lives are going to be changed. Tune in for next week.
Oh yeah.
And then in this one, he goes, are you guys ready for something that's about to happen that's going to change everyone's lives forever? And then he gives everybody a cruise. It's like, I have two problems with it. Number one is not life-changing. Number two, it's only life-changing for the people in the studio.
Yeah, my life wasn't changed.
So the millions of people watching nothing's happening to their lives.
They're all thinking and talking about Virgin Mobile cruises, though.
I will say, I guess they got a lot of promotion out of it.
Look, we're promoting it right now.
I'm not getting
a cruise.
I'm shitting on it. I didn't like the fact that it was like I get it. The franchise always does this thing where they go, this will be the most amazing thing that you'll ever see next week. I get that. And it never is, but I get it. My problem was like, it was an ad for a company that sponsors a maybe, show. It was just like, bro, maybe this was they like realized, low.
Maybe they realized the episode was just so bad and boring they were like, that they had to not show all of it and instead give everyone a free cruise. Oh, they were to like,
this is
going to
be
it.
A dud one, so let's just use this as our ad show.
Now, their men tell all, though, there was some nice tension some before moments. It diffused. Rory really showed up. Oh, I mean, Roby really showed up for
Roby,
me.
Roby came out of nowhere.
The man of the hour with a new look.
New look, spicy new Harry Potter look.
New look, new Roby, dude. This guy had attitude.
Malfoy.
Literally, he was straight up Draco Malfoy.
Draco Malfoy.
Magic. He was.
Oh, and he's magic.
And he's a magic man. Nailed it.
Draco Malfoy showed up.
He's a
Draco Roby Malfoy.
Malfoy the magic
man.
And
you know. He said that when he's like got his hair done. He's like, I'm thinking Draco Malfoy. And the guy's like, what? And he's
dude,
like,
so it was whatever. Interesting though. I went on his Instagram because I was like, what is this fool like actually like? Because he was so nervous on the show.
And yeah, because he was so like sweet and nervous and like not this, whatever like, this one was.
He's like, let me talk. Like, you could just shut the fuck up right now.
He's and swearing like, at people, calling what? People out.
It was like, what? And I loved that someone was like, wait, why are you commenting on everything? You were in the house for like 4 hours.
It was funny because he goes, he's literally calling everyone out.
Yeah.
He's calling everybody out. Well, you should have known, you know, this, that, the other. You need
what
to step
thinking?
Up, be a man, and fuck. He was like, loved the F word, too. Yeah. He was dropping F bombs like crazy. He's just like, you need to step up and this and that. And you need to, like, what is it? What do you choose? And to the point where, like, people who actually were on his side technically were like, yo, Roby, chill, dude. Like, you were there for like 2 days. Like,
not even.
They were like, you were there for the afternoon. Why are you even, who are you? What made me laugh was thinking he was coming into this show thinking, I'm going to make a moment for myself. I didn't really do it last time. I got kicked off too quick. I was too nice. I'm going to change the hair. I'm going to be aggressive and kind of like spark it up. He tried and got shut down immediately.
He was close. he was close.
If he would have kept pushing. He could have done it, but he's like, I'm gonna have a moment. I'm gonna be the bad guy on this one, and he got just absolutely drop-kicked so fast.
He got too big for his britches. He got too aggressive. He took too many openings.
He should have just slowly ramped up.
For a moment there, though, it was really just Jesse and Roby, and it was really I was really loving it because I was like I was freaking out inside. I was like jumping out of my skin because it was so cringy. But I was like, thank God for Roby because this is so much fun. I'm like, he was really taking command.
He was so aggressive too. He was the epitome of someone who's trying to be aggressive and it doesn't come natural to them. Because he's just like, you need to. And everybody's like, whoa, what is happening?
But I also like there at the end when the girls saw his hair and they were like, oh my God. And he's like, oh, would you have kept me on if I was blonde? And Rachel's like, no. And Gabby's like yep. Yeah. And he's like, and she's like, I'm just kidding.
Because like, he's like, really? Poor guy. He's just way out of his depth.
Okay, but so I went on his Instagram. And his Instagram shows like a totally different person. Not just the blonde hair. Not that just that there's hardly any pictures of him with blonde hair on it. But there's like this totally other persona that seems to be there. And I found out he went to Princeton. Just wow. Like,
but what do you mean by other persona? As in, like, he's the nice guy we saw in the beginning?
He seems like a bad boy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Maybe since the show, he's kind of trying to push the bad
boy. No, it seems like pretty consistent. There's like a slight, like, there's like a very sardonic humor. And he seems just like a bad boy magic guy.
Whoa.
Magic man.
He's like, I'm going to steal your heart, baby.
Magic man, mommy.
Yeah, he was insane.
It was wild.
Here's the question then.
What I didn't see though was the meatball. They teased meatball pouring.
You didn't see it?
Sauce all over his head. No, I think Becca didn't pause it. What happened? Did he fight somebody?
No.
He just got up there and poured meat sauce on himself.
We can get to that point. It's toward the end. But real quick, with Roby, here's the question. Is he playing nice guy or playing bad boy? Which role is he playing? Was his natural state in the show, or was his natural state post-show Men Tell All? This is a Roby conundrum.
It is a little bit of a Roby conundrum. I think it's closer to the post show, except that he was just pushing too hard. Because I think he's in a room full of a bunch of guys he really doesn't like.
Well, let's, I mean, like, the Avon date was good.
The Avon date was good.
I felt like Tino's parents should have taken a card out of Avon's parents' book, which was like, we have concerns. Let's voice our ideas. But let's also be accepting and kind.
His dad was like great.
Perfect. He asked some great questions. And at the end he said, you know what? When you love her, we accept her into our family. Where Tino's parents were like trying to prove some sort of weird point. Versus, so I felt like it was awesome. It was like a real, you know, when you see parents that like have concerns and they really care about their kid, but they also like support their kid. It was like, that was exactly how you should do
it. My favorite part of it was when Rachel was like, look, I'm really nervous to meet your parents. And he's like, there's nothing to be nervous about. And she's like, I thought, you know, they're talking about the rejection. And he's like, well, yeah, like funny. There's never been one where like both parents have accepted her. Like always one of them has like never liked her.
Right.
But they've never met someone at the same time. So this is actually the first time that's ever going to happen.
Because they haven't been in the same room in like a decade.
Yeah. Also, I think it's the first time they've been in the same room since he graduated college, like 6 years earlier.
So he's walking in. So she's walking into like some like strife.
He's like trying to get her to not be nervous. And he's like, yeah, like I actually really didn't consider that. Like that's massive. That's huge for me. And she's like standing there like,
fresh off of Tino, like trying not to be traumatized. Yeah.
And he's like, no, there's like nothing to be worried about. This is no big deal. But also like, there's all these like first time factors. Like this is massive, but like, don't worry about it.
It should be fine. Even though they've never accepted someone before and they're never hang out together.
And it's really special and important to me on like multiple levels, but like that's, you know, don't worry about that. This is really like, it's no big deal.
Yeah. And Rachel's funny because she definitely wears her like, you know, I will say it was something that was really funny. And this made me laugh and also was like, I had like a, not a critique, but I was like, how come there's no strategy here? My whole thing is like, you're going to get one question every single house you go to. And the question's always the same. One of the parents goes, so what about my son do you really like?
Oh my gosh. And I'm sick of that question.
But whether it's a good question or not is meaningless. What is important is that you got to come up with an answer. Like, know what you're going to say.
She's just so open.
No. That's better. That's a better answer. What she killed me. He goes, so what about my son, like personally, means a lot to you and what sticks out? She goes, you know, I like him so much. And the things I like about him can't really be described. that answer killed me because it's almost like saying, like, if you're in a job interview and they're like, what are you good at? You're like, my skills are more ideal.
They're really hard to pin down.
They're conceptual skills. And you're just kind of like, what? Like, I'm like, Rachel, how have you not come up with just even just kind of a line at this point where you're like, oh, well, he's a generous person and his willingness to be open when times are like, just have a line. But just to go in and go, you know, his attributes are truly indescribable.
Well, he's very agreeable. I can tell you there's very few things I bring up that he's not absolutely in love with.
Yeah, it just killed me. I was just like, you know, it's indescribable.
You know what I think saved her was when the dad was asking her about her like commitment. And she was like, if I had to tell you like right now, like, no, I'm not 100%.
It was honest.
Yeah. And she was like, but I could see us getting there.
Yeah.
And he was like, this is going to be just fine. Like, you're not completely lost in this.
It was the epitome.
I think that's all the parents really want to hear is like, no, I'm not, like, I'm not ready to get married to him today, but your son is amazing. And I could see myself having a future with him. But we need to develop it further. Then all these parents are like, wow, that's actually like a lot. That sounds very logical.
That's an honest answer.
Yeah. And so they like let things go because you're like praising their child and they're like, you know, but it's not happening today. It's like, okay. Because I think a lot of parents are like forgetting that there's more time to spend.
Yeah, it's true.
And they feel like the engagement's happening like right then and there.
Not much. 2 weeks.
Yeah, but still, there's more shit to go down.
Yeah.
And they just like, that's at least the feeling I always get is like they're giving their consent for them to get married like tomorrow.
Right. I liked the honesty there. I liked when she kind of just was like, now it's interesting. I wonder if that was just more of an admission to being like, he's not a front runner.
I was wondering the same
thing.
You
know what I mean? Like with Tino, where she clearly has a problem with his family, but like other than that, she clearly is like, seems to be massively infatuated with him. Like if the mom and dad asked that same question, would she be like, I'm ready?
Well, also, I know, right? Also, Avon said, who is my choice, by the way.
Yeah, Avon's great.
Avon said that he is falling in love with her. And instead of saying that she was falling in love with Avon, she was like, you have no idea how much that means to me.
Yeah. By the way, both our picks are still in.
It's true. Yours was Tino, right?
Eric. So,
I thought with that haircut, he would have been out so early.
I think that the haircut's actually the key. He's fun, you know? This is risky.
I hate that.
Okay, so the Avon date happens. Dude, how funny, by the way, on that date was that, like, you know, that, like, love magic lady.
Oh my gosh.
And dude, she's like, how you doing? You and like, she's, she was just like, us Long Island.
Like, you were like, there's nothing in this episode. I'm like, dude, I actually
to be honest, now that we're kind of coming in, that she was just like, well, how you doing? I'm from New York. How you doing?
It
was
you just, gotta follow ya hot.
Yeah, I literally wrote down, follow ya hot. It was just hat. Like, you, hey, here's the deal. You gotta follow your hat. It's a fucking deal, okay? A bada boom, bada bing, okay? Get your ass in here, get your bang boom, get douche. Like, it was literally like her accent was so New York thick that, like, listen, you follow your hat.
It's Massachusetts, baby.
Oh, was it? It wasn't New York. It was more Massachusetts.
It's Salem, Massachusetts. They're in Salem, where the witch trials were. So that's why they were seeing a witch.
Right.
But she's like, you want me to take you in the back and do a love love spell?
It's funny. My brain was just connecting to like a New York accent, just, but I guess now that so I'm thinking about it, I wasn't even thinking about that.
Just like so many cigarettes. And she was like, yeah, I can do this. I got this. It was so funny. And then
Boston, Mass.
Dude, what I love though is like Rachel had clearly, like, she was like, holy shit, like this woman's like, an actual witch.
Like, how you doing? Come on back. Anyways, I got a fucking pentagram table.
Rachel, you need more. You need more out of this guy. Am I right? Like every woman ever out of like the guy they went, they're like, yeah, I want more emotional. I want more emotion from him. It's like, that's pretty safe. Probably a pretty safe guess.
And then she took some like powder and just like sprays it on the like flame.
It's
and goes,
like wood dust.
Yeah.
And then Rachel goes,
it was more just like,
she's all,
when you think of a witch or someone in that line of work, you think of like, greetings. Come on, come in. You know what I mean? You think of this like
not like DMV worker.
Not like fucking, how you fucking doing? Come on in.
You don't think of like the reception lady from Monsters, Inc. Who's like,
Mike Wazowski. Well, by the way, did you see it had a pentagram on it? Like, that was like a heavy metal table. And also, you know what was brutal?
I love that The Bachelor, though. They covered up the pentagram. They covered it all.
No, I saw it.
They covered it up with all during, the candles shit. And then she bumped into it and broke all the shit that they put on top of it.
Well, did you hear the fake, like, sound they superimposed? Like, the table fell, and the sound that they superimposed was,
oh, yeah, it was like everything.
And then,
like,
you look at the table, it's not even
shattering.
Broken. Nothing broke.
Yeah, but there was candles and stuff. But yeah,
they made it sound like the whole table shattered into an oblivion.
Funny, though.
Follow your heart. That is a merch. Follow Y-A hat.
Yeah,
H-A-A-A-A-T.
H-A-R-T, your heart.
It's your hat. Dude, Hayden wasn't there. Devastating.
There was a guy dressed as Rambo
in
the audience. I thought, you know what I thought was weird is just like how out of control the guys went on the Hayden situation when they were like, when they were doing like the free Rambo situation.
Yeah.
And like, they like took it. They just went a step too far. This isn't to defend Hayden. I just like, I don't know. Like, we don't need to make a bigger deal. Like, he sunk himself so bad. You don't need to, like... Like, your opportunity to be seen on Men Tell All doesn't need to be just, like, taking the easy shot.
For me, it was also more about the dog. It was, like, free Rambo.
It was, like, what does Rambo have to do with anything?
Yeah, like, for me, it was, like, that's a sad story that there's a doggy out there that has, like, issues. You know, I'm like, oh, that's sad. But, like, let's focus just more on the fact that Hayden said some shit that was lame. I don't think we need to bring the, like, dog into this.
Also, like, his dog probably had a great life. Hayden probably hated humans. Where, like, you know, even if he has, like, a thing against women, he sounds like he really liked his dog.
It was just a weird, like, thing to talk about the dog. I don't know. Just pointing it out
is, like, for me, it's, like, it's not really... I don't know. I'm with you. Of, like, the dog is, like, the two are separate items
completely
here.
Completely separate. I don't think we need to bring the dog into this.
I don't think so either.
But, and it was also one of those things, too, of, like, I felt like a little bit with the drama of Hayden is, like, it was an asshole move. But I also felt like it was not interesting if he's not there to have, like, a dialogue about it. Like, I wanted, like, the ladies to, like, go off on him. I wanted Rachel to, like, call him out. And I wanted that, like, interaction. So the fact that, like, he wasn't there made it very, like, weird that they were just, like, multiple people were just talking about him and almost just repeating what we all felt and knew and saw. It just didn't feel like anything new happened.
That's
because
my
of
issue
it.
With it. It's so like, I wanted the
drama of it.
They're cheap shots. They're not, like, nothing you're saying is interesting.
Nothing was new. No new takes on it.
What I did like was, what's the blonde guy with the ponytail who's, like, kind of a... I think he's kind of a dingus.
Jacob? No.
Yeah, Jacob.
Jacob.
I really liked Roby being like, I don't really have, like, I thought you were very direct in what you said. You were just kind of an asshole.
That was Roby's, like, that was Roby's opening line, by the way.
You're kind
wild.
You're kind of a dick or whatever he said.
No, he said asshole.
Oh, he said asshole. Yeah,
said,
but
you know,
I was
I hear
like,
what you're saying, but you did it in like an asshole way.
It was like, yeah, that's kind of like, that's the whole issue is like, he was just direct and upfront. He was just an asshole. One thing for me was like, I bet the messages he got for like from all of that were like probably really affected him. And but I was like,
he probably was traumatized by like bad.
That's what
like,
I'm saying.
By the fact that like he got wrecked and he probably had no online presence.
He really
before.
Needed, and he had to create that opening for himself because he really didn't like get the Jesse didn't give him an opening for that.
No, but I did feel like, yeah, the tears could have been forced or whatever, but I do feel like he handled it as best as you could handle
totally.
It. Like he literally went right for it right away. He said, I messed up. I'm embarrassed. I shouldn't have done that. I'm learning. I'm so sorry. He didn't try to go, he just went all the way apologies. And I think because of that, he won it over. Like
who bothered me was Logan did really well. After the very first thing he said, because the first thing he said was Jesse was like teasing and he's like, oh, like, what were the best parts for you of dating two girls? And Logan's like, the lessons I learned.
Right. It's a little pandering. Yeah.
Like, okay, Logan, the lessons you learned.
It was
like,
a little pandering.
Are you a better guy for going through this process too?
Classic. Like, it's like very like obvious answers.
I was
very
not
political.
I was not into that. But the rest of his stuff, I thought he defended really well. Like when everyone was trying to get on his case about the situation, he's like, look, like if I'm seriously considering the woman that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with, I don't want to have any doubts. And that's what I did. So like maybe it wasn't handled right, but whatever. And I just kind of dug that. And everyone's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. It was tough too. Cause it was like the guys who were the most mad with him were the guys that got kicked off the same week he stayed on. So they were like, we could have stayed if you wouldn't have been there. And it's like, I understand people's anger with Logan. And I think it's valid to some extent. And I think his point of being like, wow, I'm talking about the woman I'm going to marry. I want to make sure I go after it. I think that's valid as well. I think the most valid concern with Logan to me
is that he's trying to look like Matthew Perry.
He does look like Matthew Perry. My biggest concern with him was that the fact of, I forgot who brought it up, but someone brought up the point and they said, were you just trying to like play the game to stay on? And I was like, that's the only, in my opinion, valid comment about his situation where it's like, other than that, it's like the guy wanted, thought he got picked by one. He was a little like, I think I'm into her. I'm thinking, and then he realized halfway through, I'm not, I'm into Gabby. Goes for Gabby. He, you know what I mean? Like at the end of the day, it's like he went for it. He was true to his heart, blah, blah, blah. Where the like the problem comes up is like that he didn't tell Rachel. He took Rachel's rose. Like that is the dilemma there. That is the like, ooh, it's hard to debate that. But I just don't like that they were like, we could have stayed on if you wouldn't have done that. It was like, that's a weird move. Like no, you're not mad that like he pulled a weird move. You're mad that he maybe took your
you're
spot.
You're focusing on the rules. You're not really focusing on the like that you never
the
stood
morality
a chance to begin with.
Of the situation.
Now, what did you think about the whole situation with Nate?
What do you mean?
Well, like, okay, so it's what I thought was funny was Jesse's like building Nate up this whole time and he's like, yeah, you had a really good connection, right? And he's like, yeah, yeah, like he was just finished crying.
And
he's like,
and then he slam dunked
so
him.
So now the rumors.
He's like, so now in. That we kind of built up your niceness. You were lying to these women about your child and you were cheating on him. So yeah. Talk about that.
And he's like, he's yeah. Just like, and he's like, yeah, basically like I'm not the man today. I'm not the man that I was. And that was enough for then like, what the fuck is his name to step in and just be like a truly great man. Da, 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 da.
Yes.
And he says that. And then right after he says that, Jesse's like, couldn't have said it better. And it's just like, and we're done roasting Nate. And now like we're moving on. And it was sort of like, bro, that was the weirdest. Like,
yeah, because it's funny.
He was dating two women. Oh my gosh. That was like Jesse. The moment the opening happened, Jesse's like, and we're, Nate's a great guy. And conversation over. Nate, get out of the hot seat. And
which
he's like,
brings
cool,
me to
contractual
the,
obligation it, to question Nate's rumors. Done.
Nate goes, hey, listen, like, you're right. I messed that up. And then when he gets called out for dating two women, he goes, you're right. I shouldn't have done that. And I'm not that same person anymore. Like he owned any mistakes he made. Jesse, though, was definitely the one that was like, where are you, Jesse? Like you're in sales mode. You're like a salesman right now.
Jesse
you're selling
like,
products. You're trying to be like, I don't, yeah, it was very strange.
Jesse was just really focused on his Virgin Mobile moment. And he really didn't want, not mobile, Virgin Cruises moment.
Yes.
And he just really didn't want any negative attitude lingering for
his next commercial.
He wanted
commercial.
It to all be positive. He just wanted a party. But I think like, look, I do think Nate handled it well. I mean, what are you going to say? Like, what are you?
Well, I just felt like
what else can you say?
Well, I like that he owned it. I think that's my thing with Jacob too. Is like, when you just own your mistakes all the way and you don't try to go like, well, you screwed me. Or you just go, yeah, it's embarrassing. I shouldn't have done that. I messed up. I'm like, dude, that's the only way to handle a mistake. You can't.
I think it would have been, it would have been totally fine if that guy hadn't interceded. Like, Nate didn't need any help. It just, like, it came off so douchebag bro-y to me at the end. The moment that he talked about, like, a mark of real greatness is, like, raising other men up. Or, like, some shit like that.
Yeah.
And then Jesse was, like, football Jesse was, like, all over that shit. And I was like, dude, this feels very locker room vibes to me.
It was.
And I was just like, this is weird.
Jesse was on one, dude.
I just thought it was weird as the host of the show to just be, like, I don't know.
Well,
it was just a vibe, and I was just not.
I agree. I feel like Jesse, to be honest with you, I'm very hit or miss with Jesse. Some parts I like Jesse, and then some parts I feel like he's vying to maybe get on another show or to like build his star versus like just being like almost like, I feel like if you want to be a good host, you almost got to be like a journalist. Impartial, but also like going for it. And I feel like Jesse gets more interested in his like character. And we're just like, and that's hilarious.
This is my thing.
He does a lot of like, are we?
Unfortunately,
it's a lot of like, okay, can we
unfortunately,
chill?
Chris Harrison had to be such a douchebag because he was a very good host for the show.
Right. And then the girls came out kind of uneventful. No, like real craziness. Just like, you know, the Logan comment was talking to Rachel and kind of being like, hey, I'm really sorry I didn't find that time to like talk to you. Nothing ever really crazy came from that. Then there was the like movie, another commercial for the movie. It had the actors come out.
I missed that.
Wait, what?
I honestly must have missed that. No,
it was the whole end.
I think I was like making food in the kitchen or something. I was like cleaning up from a snack or something. Becca didn't, there was a moment where I went to do something and Becca didn't pause the show.
Oh. It was like the whole last 20 minutes.
So I missed Meatball. I missed Meatball pouring sauce on himself. Okay.
So basically, so they had a couple of the actors come out. Do you know who Billy Eichner is?
Yeah.
Billy on the Street?
Yeah. Awesome. I like Billy on the Street.
Love Billy on the Street. So he was out. They were being funny. It was all good. You know, but it was a little bit one of those awkward situations, though, where like they're there to promote a movie on a show that is not known for promoting movies. The show was promoting a movie, which was like a little forced. So everyone's kind of like, so it was a mixture of
wait. So you're, I just, what I missed was that, again, just going back to the beginning, we didn't have time to watch the rose ceremony, but we had time to promote Virgin Cruises and Billy Eichner's new movie.
You know, for me, it was like, first of all, amazing that they're doing a full-blown major motion picture that is like all gay cast. So it was like the first one ever done. And I think that was really, really cool and like has nothing to do with like the beauty of like what's happening. But like the whole episode was like one big commercial for a bunch of other stuff that has nothing to do with the show.
It's Billy Eichner helped write the screenplay.
Yeah, so it's called Bros.
And Stoller and Judd Apatow are producing the film.
Yeah, it looked really funny.
Okay.
But you
I
know,
like this.
But you know, it's like, it was just another kind of like slightly forced situation. And Billy Eichner was funny. He made the most of it. But I don't know. It was just like, you know, they're pushing a movie in the middle of an episode.
It's
odd.
It's just adding, it's commercial.
Like, it's not a Tonight Show where they come on and, like, the literal show is designed to promote your thing. It was like, you're in the middle of this thing and they're selling so much stuff.
That's my issue with The Bachelor is so goddamn cheap. ABC is what's really cheap.
Yeah.
You know, like, ABC is who's making these decisions ultimately. And they're just using every opportunity to just, like, sell stuff, because I bet that the women tell all and the men tell all.
I feel like those are fire episodes normally.
Yeah, so I feel like they have higher rating, so they're probably charging a shitload of money
for commercials and stuff.
Yeah, to happen during the show.
But I will say, it must have been like
when you have like high engagement, you know, everyone's watching it.
So maybe they just knew that we weren't going to get much drama. Maybe they like found out Hayden wasn't going to be there and stuff. And Chris, I remember Chris wasn't going to be there, the guy who was like. So it's like they probably knew the two biggest, you know, enemies on the show weren't going to be there. So they're like, okay, well, we can just use this to sell a bunch of stuff. But basically what happened was Billy Eichner, and then they talked about Meatball. They were doing this game called Do's and Don'ts of Dating, or Do's and Don'ts on a Date. And so at one point in time, they show the video of Meatball like dousing himself. And they were like, is this a do or a don't? And then the guys were like, actually, I liked it. And then Billy Eichner brought out like a massive pot, and then he threw it on himself. So it was like a moment. And then Ballhead took it really far. He tackled Billy Eichner while covered in meat sauce, ruining Billy Eichner's like probably designer clothing. I was like, he might be wearing like high end stuff and you just ruined all his clothes. That's the first thing I thought. I don't know what that means, but first thing I thought.
What was the reaction to him tackling?
Everyone was laughing. You know, it was like Jesse was very uncomfortable the whole time. He definitely was like, I don't like the meatballs, you know.
I can agree with Jesse behind this. Okay. This is all right. A mystery to me. I would say my reaction to this man pouring meat sauce on himself in front of a live audience, it would make me sad more than anything. You'd probably see me just like in the audience, just like shedding a single tear for Meathead, Ballhead. Because again, no one remembers the name that this person's mother gave him. He's just literally took his chance
Ballhead.
To be deemed Ballhead forever. And like, you're the guy who's known for coming on the Bachelor franchise and just pouring meat sauce all over yourself.
Well, he's a character actor. Not everybody can be leading man.
No,
you know?
The thing is, though, is like, he's not an actor. Did he make it? Did he touch sand? Let me ask that. Does ball head touch sand?
I don't remember if ball head touches sand, but Jacob and Logan, big time.
We know that Logan touched sand.
Yeah. And Jacob, like they look like they're both having a really...
Logan's a hot commodity, yeah. And then there's the clip of the night vision of the girl farting with Logan in bed.
Yes.
So funny to me. So funny. Who are they burning with that? They're really burning some poor girl who just farted in her
sleep.
They
definitely are not holding... They're not pulling any punches these days.
No.
They're going for it all the way. They're like, if you're on this show, you're going to get cooked.
Dude, it reminds me of like Road Rules versus, you know, real world.
Old MTV stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, dude, we're coming down to the finish line here, bro.
We are.
Should we make a prediction right now? Who wins both sides? Or does someone win? Or do they not win? Or does someone walk off? Or does the whole thing fall apart?
Did any of the girls look engaged to you?
Like glowing engaged?
Yeah. Do they look in love?
I don't know. I didn't get a read.
Gabby looked in really high spirits.
She seemed happy.
I think Gabby has some real prospects on her side.
I think Gabby ends up with Eric. And I think Rachel ends up with... I'm going to say Tino.
I mean, look, this reminds me... It reminds me a little bit... Shit, I just pulled that off the wall. It reminds me a little bit of... who were those idiots?
who were those idiots?
When Hannah Brown chose the dog food jingle guy.
Here, move your mic for me.
When Hannah chose the dog food jingle guy.
Oh, yeah.
And she was like trying to convince her parents without saying as much. She was like, we're going to become like Instagram famous, mommy and daddy. And like his music career is going to take off because I'm going to be the bachelorette.
Oh, him.
And
yeah.
He has a future when really he's like, yeah, I've sold one song and I wrote like a dog food tune for a shitty commercial no one's seen. And then his whole family, when she's meeting his whole family, they're like, he's an idiot. You shouldn't be anywhere near him. Like his whole family threw him under the bus and was like, yeah, this dude had like a full blown, like stable girlfriend that he threw to the side of the road
for this show
to go on this show. And now you're coming home after like spending 4 hours with him and you're telling us you guys are going to get married. His whole family was telling her that. And then she chose him despite everything.
So what's your guess?
Well, my guess is you're probably right. I think that there's a lot of strength in everyone telling you that this person's the wrong decision. And then you're like, I'll prove all of you wrong. Because everyone else looks too easy. Look at Aven. Aven's so stable.
Stable, kind.
Aven's so sweet, handsome. And he's going to take, he's like, you know, there's nothing.
There's nothing wrong.
There's no danger.
There's no red flags.
There's no
at
risk.
All.
I think she wants to reform someone.
I like a little danger.
I'd be lying if I said I didn't. I mean, look, it's not like, you know, dating Becca is dangerous.
Oh my God.
Just turned
into... You're like, I just spit all over myself. Oh my gosh. Well, I think, so you're agreeing with me?
Yeah, I think Tino's a good call.
Tino and
I really want to go with the quiet guy who, I can't remember his name. Maybe that's the reason I shouldn't go with him over Eric. But I just really like he just seems like such a stable pillar for Gabby.
We're not talking about what you want. We're talking about what you think.
Well, I want to say what I want, and I want him to be the guy who wins. I want him to win.
Well, we'll see. I mean, we're a couple weeks out.
It's true.
We'll see. Or it might be one of those things where like something falls apart and someone goes, actually, I'm not ready. And then boom, the whole thing falls apart, which can very much happen in this situation. So,
which I also think for anyone in this show is a bullet dodged.
Oh, interesting.
I do think, I mean, like, look,
well, the track record would say so. The track record would agree with you.
It's definitely easier to come off this show not being engaged.
Well, look what it did. It gave them another show.
Totally.
Just keep it going.
They're coming back again.
For the I mean, there's no loss. We love their story more.
That's true.
We get more invested in it.
Well, we love you guys.
As always.
Have an amazing weekend. Enjoy it in whatever way you enjoy it.
Maybe you'll play golf. Maybe you'll go to Disneyland.
Mm. Take a deep breath. be here now. Don't stress. Relax. Be present. Don't go scrolling. Don't let the pressures of the world consume you. Take control of your mindset. Take control of your peace. We love you guys. We'll see you next week. He's just going, oh. Bye, Jetson.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.